last week we started talking about, anybody remember? Purpose, man.
All right.
Yeah, what is our purpose? Anybody ever ask yourself, what's our purpose? Yeah, well, it don't matter, you may not know. And we're just getting started, I believe, what God's going to speak to us. But God is good. And last week we talked about purpose. And I read Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, a few weeks back and studying it. Stirred me up. Stirred me back up a little bit on it. I think we go through life half the time and we don't really know what our purpose is.
Amen. Or we don't act like it.
Yeah, or we don't act like it. Okay, we may know, but we don't act like it. You're right. Anybody remember one of the first points we talked about last week? Listen, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to ask you to come and participate with me, okay? It might be different than service you've ever been at before, but it's okay. We're just open here. We're going to trust the Lord's got some. Hey, Brother Mike, come on in. Okay, nobody? At least you remember what we talked about. But one of the points was, first point was, it's not about me.
That's right.
Anybody? Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about me.
Not about me.
Look at your other neighbor and say, it's not about me.
Amen.
Okay. Now we're loosened up and everybody's happy, right? It's not about me. Then why is it about us? Why do we make it about us? And what was the reason we talked about? We're selfish, right? We're self-centered. And the first point I made last week was, that's where we start. And we start at the wrong place. It's like the runner running the race, and they're in the starting blocks. And then this other guy's all the way around the other corner. Guess what? He's in the wrong place, right? And that's where we start a lot of times in our life is it's all about us. And we often said, it's not even about our family sometimes. It is about us and our family, but yet he has to be first. And I guess if I wasn't doing a two-part here, I'd call this first priority today. When I was studying last night, so it's not about us. It's about who? It's about him. That was the thing we talked about. And we left it off the last point, and we didn't get there. It's about what? Anybody remember? I brought it up. But it's about his kingdom. And learning about kingdom purpose is one of the most important things in our life, I believe, that God wants us to understand. But we don't really understand what kingdom purpose is. Okay? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm not going to be long. But I feel like I got a word from the Lord. And he also gave me another one just before I went to the jail the other night. And I feel like I'm supposed to share it this morning also. So, in John 18:36, Jesus said this. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Kingdom purpose takes us beyond... Come on in. Let me say this again. Kingdom purpose takes us... If y'all would just... Anybody in the room, scoop to the right there. There we go. We got a roll. Come on in, Shane. Family.
It's a great thing to
good
have
stuff. Oh, yeah. Shoot, before I don't have to have ushers. Now, if we're going to be in trouble, I got to have an entourage around me, when I come in here, But I promise I'll still see anyone after the service. Okay? I won't run and hide in the corner. All right, so kingdom purpose. What is kingdom purpose? And that's where we're going to start this morning. Got to get a sip of cup.
Sip of cup. Blessing.
Yes, Lord. So kingdom purpose takes us actually beyond our flesh and into another place. And it's thinking outside of ourselves. It's actually not focusing on a worldly standard, okay? But it's thinking outside of the box. Anybody ever heard that? We need to think outside of the box. Everybody's heard that. So it's kind of that way, but what do we do in our life? We're all about us. As we said earlier, we're all about, you know, everything, but we've taken God and put Him way down the list in our lives sometimes. Might be just Sunday, or some people have service Wednesdays or Tuesdays, or anything. But here's the thing. Kingdom purpose takes us way beyond even right now in our life. And what it does, it makes us start looking for a future. Okay? I was thinking this morning, one of my trucks doesn't have a rear view mirror. And sometimes I believe we don't need a rear view mirror. You know what I mean? Because why? When we're always looking in the rear view mirror of life, come on in, good to see y'all this morning. When we're always looking in a rear view mirror, what's happening in our life? Come on, somebody go with me.
Always looking back.
Looking in the past. We're all, yeah. And listen, it's okay to remember the past, to look in the past on occasion, but here's the thing. What happens sometimes is we get caught up in that thing and we're always looking in the past. But God wants you to look in a futuristic vision, have a futuristic vision and kingdom purpose gives you that. When you start looking in the kingdom of God, it's outside of this world. And so, with that said, I want to say this. Kingdom purpose is found in living for Christ. It brings true purpose for life, right now and yet to come. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief come to what?
Kill,
to steal, and destroy. Who's that? Who's the thief in this?
Satan.
Okay. The devil wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to, you know, take away from your life everything that he can. But the best part of that scripture, and this is red letters, but Jesus said, but I've come that you can what?
Have
life. And more abundantly. Who wants abundant life?
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, I want abundant life.
I want abundant life.
So God wants you and I to know that He has a purpose for our life and a destiny for all our lives. You know, it's miserable to try to go on a trip and you don't know where you're going. And we do this all the time. We just did this Friday night. What we want to eat? Where are we going to go to eat, baby? I don't know. You choose.
I don't want to go with
you. I don't know. Okay, well, now you choose. So y'all laughing. Y'all know what I mean. You feel with your friends, your wife, your husband. And then you start out and it's like, well, okay. And Penny is the worst, probably. I don't know what she's saying.
I'll go.
Well, you're the one that has Pinky, yeah. Okay? No, you're the one that's not eating meat right now. Okay, you pick. And then she's
saying,
yeah.
I'm going to sell it anywhere.
Yeah.
These 10 places.
But, you know, and then we start out, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to an Italian place, but you can't go to eat Italian without eating bread, right? But I did. We'll just say that. Right. Praise God. We can do all things through Christ. Do what? Strengthens us not to have bread. And in this case, no sugar. Praise God. Sugar-free hazelnut. It's awesome. Add a little stevia, right? But it's a miserable place not to know where we're going. Think about it before Christ, too. You ever met somebody that's never been born again, never been saved? You may be here today. It's okay before you leave. I'm going to make sure you know that there's a way, a truth in the life that comes through Christ if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. But there's something missing right in your life then. But it's the same way, even if we're born again, there's just something missing. If we don't know our purpose and we don't know where we're going, How many know what I'm talking about? It's just like you're just all over the place. You're driving down the road, you're going over here, you know, and then, well, I don't know, I can't have bread. And that's the way we go through life a lot of times. But God wants us, Jesus has a direction. And that's why it says He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we got to keep that in mind. And Ephesians 1:11-12 tells us that, and this is from the Message Bible, like this, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. I like that version of it. An overall purpose. Yes, now I'm not saying that He wants to be everything, forget your family. That's not it. Christ wants you to have other purposes too. But we got to prioritize, and that He wants to be the first priority. Romans 14:7 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." Oh, we all like to eat and drink, don't we? And we brought it up in an example. "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness. When you're in right standing with God, how many know you're happy? Right?
Yes, sir.
When you're not in righteousness with God, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Christ, you're born again, you're miserable. They ain't no other place more miserable than knowing. And what do we do? What is the one thing we do? We change the purpose of life, don't we, when we're in sin in our life. We can start justifying everything around us. And guess what starts happening? Enemy, the thief, starts coming in. He starts destroying our mind. He starts using things against us. Well, you know, old Pastor Ronnie, I don't know about that. You know, he didn't have on a tie. So-and-so at the church, they did. I saw them over there. I saw this one over there. He was drinking a beer. Boy, he's going to hell, ain't we? We start judging. We start seeing, I just don't think I'll go back over there. I don't know. The next thing you know, you're upset at home, miserable. And God had a purpose for you to be at that church service. He had a purpose for you. When does the enemy attack you more than any time? Sunday morning. Amen. Listen, let me tell you this secret. It don't change just because you're the pastor, neither. It's usually worse because He don't want you to come. You ain't been sick all week. Or you zooping it up the so-and-so Super Bowl Sunday, but you pick. Last night was the racing starting up, and y'all know I'm racing. They had the Daytona Twins last night. I didn't even watch it, you know. I wanted to spend time with my wife. But we have to choose in our time what's important and prioritize and learn that, you know what, I'm going to push past this feeling. An emotion. For weeks we've been talking about this, haven't we? About fasting. We had January fasting. Okay? And what is fasting? Giving something up.
For a purpose, though.
For a purpose.
Giving something up so that you can spend yourself on God and on what God wants.
Yes. Now there's different, and we're talking about a spiritual fast here, right? And, you know, you can fast to go and have a surgery. Fast for, I didn't know the other day, you know,
For blood work.
For blood work, yeah, I didn't know the other day that they did that, but to get your levels and stuff back normal. So, there's many different ways of fasting, but we're talking about a spiritual fast, okay? So, in other words, we've been talking about all these things over the last few months, but God wants you to understand that kingdom purpose is important, and... There's a guy named Joe Gibbs. Anybody heard of him? We're talking about racing.
Yeah.
He's not only... He was... all the men.
Yeah.
Any women? No Joe Gibbs? Oh, okay. Joe Gibbs was the coach of the Washington Redskins for many years. They've won Super Bowls and all this stuff. And then he retired, and he's now in NASCAR. He has a NASCAR team racing. But one thing about Joe Gibbs is he is a Christian man. He is a godly man, and he walks the walk. I respect him. I don't pull for his team, you know, on racing, but I respect the man because he is a man of God. But listen to what he said in a quote. He said, if I keep God first in my life, and if I keep my family and friends second, and then I keep my occupation third, that's when I found success. That's when I found success. Do you think Joe Gibbs was always like that? No. Surely not. Everyone in this room, none of us, the Bible says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have been out of whack. We've all been out of sort at some time or another. Maybe you're there right now. I don't know. But when we begin to start placing God first in our life, when He becomes priority in our life, things change. There's things that's going to happen, and you're like, what in the world? I didn't believe. There's no way. Things happen here in this church. It's amazing what God's done over the last 2 years. In the natural, if I was looking in the natural, there's no way we should be here, honestly, and paying the bills, or even be able to have go get some hazelnut this morning. And think, we got the money in the bank to get some hazelnut. We paid the bill. We got heat. These things, you know, really, and it's because God is in charge. We have given Him this place and said, Lord, this is Your house. This is Your place, and we surrendered all to You. So guess what? God is going to provide. He's going to provide all the needs for the ministry house. And so as people sow, and you sow in faith, one of the hardest things for people to prioritize is what?
Money.
Boy, where I get quiet. Now he's going to preach on money. Listen, I'm not going to preach on it. I'm going to tell you what, though. It does say that, you know, that money, the love of money is the root of all evil, right? But the fact is, what we do is we put money way above God most of the time in our life, not just about giving it to the church or giving it to others or whatever, but we hoard it. We hoard it, and what we do is we don't trust God for that part in our life.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you're going, you know, not going to go to heaven or anything else, but there's something missing. And the ones that can trust God with everything is what God's trying to speak to us this morning, I believe, and say, you know what, I lay it all down to You. I lay it all down to You, Lord, and I'm trusting You with this. When you do that, and money is one of the key things, because your family needs to be warm, right? It needs to have a house. But what if it was something even more that God has, and you trusted Him for it, and you said, well, Lord, You've told me to do this, to sow or do this, and to really surrender this part of my life, because I know that You own everything. And I'm trusting that everything is going to be provided for me. And so we got to understand that with kingdom eyes, that's what God wants us to look towards. Not just building up our kingdom. And that's what we do. We try to build up our kingdom. And what does a kingdom have to have? Turn that heat down. Has to have what?
A king,
right? So in our most cases, who's the king? Oh boy, I'm meddling now, ain't I? It's getting quiet in here. I need to tell a joke.
My wife.
Huh?
My wife.
Your wife. There you go.
Smart.
All right. Well, sometimes that's the case.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes it is. As long as your wife's trusting that God's first. Right? You're okay. You've got to balance it all, though. And God says this in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And this is out of the New Living Translation. Excuse me. Seek, in the New American Standard, it says, first, Seek first the kingdom of God above what? All else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Everything. It didn't say a little bit, did it? It didn't say everything that you want, did it? Everything you need according to what? He knows what you need. Somebody asked me the other day about the lottery thing. How many know? It's been a big number. I said, what do you think about that? I said, well, you know, everybody has to have the conviction of what they want to do, gambling, anything else. But I know, well, what does that mean, Ronnie? I was like, well, when you start gambling, anybody know what it means? It is covetousness. Because you're coveting, you're actually thinking that you're going to receive something through like a hoax, or basically you're trusting that thing's gonna. How do you explain covetousness, Penny? It's one of those things where
you're wanting something
that you don't have, and you're lusting after it. It's the same way, and we talked about last week in the garden, right, of Adam and Eve, and we're created. We talked about creation last week. We were created in what?
His own image.
And it says our image, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if we're created in His image, we got to understand all our needs are met. But we live in a world and a society of its selfish mentality. Now, seek first reveals Jesus' concern for the priority of our life. Can I tell you, God's concerned about what you need? Jesus is telling us that. Seek first the kingdom, and all everything else will be added. He commands that our first priority be His kingdom and His righteousness. Jesus indicates that there are two priorities here, options or directions on which we can focus our life. We can go after and be occupied with things as our goal, excuse me, or we can seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God and our goal. So Jesus says, seek first, not let it be the one and only thing you seek after. God expects us to work. He expects us to live, and He expects us to have other priorities, right? And these are things it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. How many know that? The Bible tells us that. There's a lot of people who are sitting at home just waiting on welfare checks. I don't know. I think the system's flawed there. If you're crippled or you're something you can't, there's nothing wrong with drawing. I've had to draw unemployment once when I got laid off. But staying living in that thing and is not trusting God at all. It's not making, you know, if we don't work, we don't eat. So God expects us to work and live while centering our life on Him and His kingdom as we work and live. What Jesus is teaching us here is clearly to establish priorities in your life. Let your first priority be follow Christ. Jesus says, focus your attention and hope on the things of the Lord. Now, if you're going to be consumed with anything, He wants you to be consumed with the kingdom. Amen? Amen. He wants you to be consumed with the kingdom. Now, two simple points, and I'm not going to be, but a little, I just got one more page, and everybody said amen.
Amen.
Not five or six today. But two simple rules should be governing our life. First of all, set your eyes on the things that advance God's kingdom. What does that mean? Somebody tell me. What does it mean to set your eyes on the things that advance God's kingdom?
What's God's kingdom?
What's God's kingdom, somebody?
God's people.
God's people.
The church.
Okay.
What else? What else do you think God's kingdom is?
The whole world.
Okay, the whole world.
Now remember, the world right now is in control by what? It's not good. Yeah. So, should we be seeking? That's right now not the kingdom of God, is it?
No.
The kingdom of God, if we talk about it, a kingdom has to have a king, right? And if you do not recognize the king, do you put yourself under his rule? Do you put yourself under his authority? Do you obey him? Do you honor him? Do you do what he asks? No. So basically, are you really within his kingdom where he rules and reigns? To truly be a member of God's kingdom, you therefore surrender to his purpose, what he wants, what his rule and reign is. So everybody on earth is not in God's kingdom because they don't choose to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about people who don't go to, who do or don't go to heaven. Do you know there's not a single person, honestly, that God will not allow into heaven? People choose that they don't want to go into his heaven.
That's
they don't
right.
want him. They don't want to obey him when they're here on earth. They don't want what he wants. So why would they choose a heaven with the same God that they tried to avoid on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So for the kingdom of God, it says the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. What that meant is now that the king is here, we have an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. And a king makes decisions as to who is going to do what, how the rule of the land is going to be, how everyone should act, right? Isn't that basically what a kingdom is? And whether or not we're in the kingdom means, A, do we know who the king is? B, do we know what he wants? And C, are we doing what he asks? That's what the kingdom of God is.
Very good. That's why in the scripture earlier, Jesus told me, he says, my kingdom is not of this world.
That's right.
You know, it's something beyond. And I'll say this, most of the time we're not looking for the kingdom of God because we're looking at everything of the world. And we live in the world, so a lot of times, though, we become worldly. But God's trying to I think, get us to a place where we look beyond right here, okay? What is it? Jerusalem. And into the out. He told his disciples to go and what?
Make disciples.
Telling all people. And so it's outside. That is, and Joe, you was right. I mean, it's part of the kingdom purpose is enlarging the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And that is why we're here. It's not just about us. It's about Him and it's about His kingdom. And telling people the good news of the gospel. And we have to understand, what is the first thing? What was John the Baptist? Okay, who? Everybody know John the Baptist? Heard of John the Baptist? Who was John the Baptist?
He baptized
Jesus. He baptized Jesus, absolutely.
He was his cousin.
Yeah, before Jesus or John was born, he was his cousin, and the Bible says he leaped in his mother's womb. And when he found out, when Mary came to Elizabeth and told about Jesus, Jesus, and she was pregnant. And I've got to be careful, I'll go down another road. But John the Baptist was the one who was the forerunner of Christ, who was baptizing people. He was a wild man, to be honest with you. He's somewhat, maybe he's like you, I don't know. But he was a wild man. He had on his skin of which animal? Anyway, he wore like a leopard skin and all this stuff. But he eat, anybody know what he eat?
Locusts
and honey. Grasshoppers, right? Locusts and honey. Do you think people, he run around... Repent. His message was repent.
For the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm. Repent. For when Jesus come on the scene, now this is free. He said, when Jesus walked up, he was baptizing people, he said, what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. That's when he said that. Because the kingdom of God just walked up. Oh, I got goosebumps. The kingdom of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Even though John had not seen Jesus, he knew. Why? Why did he know that it was the King? Because he walked in the Spirit. The Spirit gives what? It says the Spirit knows the Spirit. All right? You ever walked up on somebody and you didn't feel like it was the Holy Spirit? The Spirit knows the Spirit. And he says, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is right now. And then what is the next thing that Jesus does? He has to go in his ministry. After he's baptized, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And he goes in what? Fasted 40 days. And he went into the desert. He was tempted by Satan all these times. The next thing you know, what is he preaching? First thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. You see, we've always got to remember, just like Paul, why did I do these things I don't want to do? I do them. Now, Paul's saying, I'm in a flesh suit. I mess up and I do these things. So you got to learn what repentance means, and you got to learn what the kingdom means also. So the kingdom of God is very important. Now, allowing God to keep His promise concerning the... Here's two things. Is set your eyes on the things that advance the kingdom. And the second is allow God to keep His promise concerning the rest of your life. You got to believe God. You got to believe like the Word goes on and says in verse 34 there. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough. Right? It says today's troubles are enough for today. People live their life half the time worrying. How am I going to get my next paycheck? Worrying that how am I going to pay this bill? Worrying about this, worrying about that. What is worry? Joe knows. What's worry? It's sin in our life, right? Why is it sin? Exactly. We're not trusting God. We don't believe the other part. If we are seeking Him first and we are walking in His righteousness, He will bless us. He will make a way. So you got to understand that. Now, here's what the Lord spoke to me. Turn over to Romans 12 if you got your Bibles. We're going to read this and I'm going to wrap it up. Romans 12 tells us over there, and most people know the Scripture, and I've read it thousands of times, I don't know, but God spoke something to me the other night, and I believe it's for all of us. You say, well, how do I stay purpose-driven? How do I do this, you know? How do I really be a Christian in this world? It's hard enough just, you know, work it out here in the construction world. Right, Joe? It's hard enough. How do I do this? Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12. He's talking about dedicated service. And service is part of being in kingdom purpose. Serving the Lord. Everyone in here has a calling on your life. You may not know it yet, but you do. And a purpose for the kingdom. So Paul's talking about this. He said, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to what?
God.
To God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now here's where I'm going. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How many has heard that scripture before? Okay? The other night, God's that word renewing jumped out. What is, first of all, the word transform? What does that mean?
Change.
Changed. Right? Anybody ever? Huh?
Metamorphosis.
Oh, metamorphosis. Like the butterfly, right? What does it start out with?
Caterpillar.
It's weird, ain't it? But hey, it happens. And then it becomes what?
Butterfly.
Beautiful little butterfly flying around. Metamorphosis. Transform. You're, if some of the guys probably know by plugging something in. You got what, DC to 12 volt. You can change the current, right? Transformer. It's a transformer, it's called. So being changed. Now look at the word renewed. And I looked this up. God said, look this up. I looked it up. So I didn't lose my place. And I did. Pulled that out. But anyway, it's 3442 in the Greek word. Bear with me a second. I'll get it. Now, I'm not even going to try to think that I can pronounce this Greek word. A-N-A-K-A-H-E-N-O. Anybody got that one? Anakeo, that's about what I was thinking. But here's, listen what it means. Yeah, about what I was thinking, not that I can say it. Anakeo. And it comes from Anakezo. There's words that they relate and come from each other. Now listen what it means. It says to renovate. To renovate. And it also, when it comes from the other word, it says to restore. And then it comes from one other word, and I ain't even going to try to pronounce it, but it says continually. Oh, get this now. Here's where we take this scripture, look back at it, and it says the renewing of your mind. We think of it as one time, don't we? Mm-hmm. We think of it, you're saved. Yeah. You're saved. You're transformed, you're saved. And that's it. No. It's not what it is. It's renewing. It's renovating. Constantly. Working in your mind. You're changing it every day. Every day it's changing. And what are we supposed to be changing into? The image of Christ. Yes. Every day in our life we get up changing the image of Christ. We're changing. It says from glory to glory to glory. And so when we look at that and we say, renewing constantly. Change, right, Denver. We're constantly changing. Our minds are transforming. It's changing. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. So, seeking the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place when we do that. When we begin to focus on Him above everything else in our life, and we put Him first. I have to get up in the morning and spend my time with the Lord because I'm all over the place. I'm one of these that's not just one track mind. I'm 10 track. You know, I'm going here and here and here and here. And then when I get calmed down and set down before I go to bed, I spend some more time with the Lord. So I don't know where your time should be with Him. And sometimes it's driving down the road. It's praising God that way if you only have time. Right? It's something wherever, but it's there. You're renewing your mind. You're constantly. What happens to anybody, though, if you don't renovate?
It falls apart.
It falls apart. Yes, it does. I mean, Mike's a builder. He knows. How many times that's what you do, right? Renovation, a lot of times. And some of us in construction, you build it back. You're always putting it new again, fresh. There's nothing like a fresh coat of paint, is it? Mm-hmm. On a house. Doing a little this and that. So.
Or it gets stale like a loaf of bread.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mildew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It can become stale, moldy, and mildew. And so, falling apart. That's what's happening with Christianity everywhere. Look at it. We've made it something it's not. It's not kingdom purpose anymore. There's you may go to church, but there's more than coming to a church, a building. We got to learn to be the church. And that's what kingdom purpose is, being the church, not just going to church to assemble together. It says, forsake not the assembling together. We're supposed to do this, okay? Because it's just like refueling you. Open up. Right? We're getting refueled. That's what we do. We lift each other up. So, kingdom purpose. Hope that helps you. Get a grip on it's not looking in the rearview mirror. Although, you know, we have a past. Everyone in this room, you got a past. Right? Some of you, like me, not so great. I'm not really happy about proud of some of the stuff that happened in my life. It's part of my testimony, yo. God uses it. The Bible says He uses all things, and He can take those things for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. Some of you don't know your true calling and your purpose yet. Stay in the game. Stay in this thing. You can't win the race unless you're in the race. Paul talks about it. I love Paul, how he talked about racing and stuff. Can you relate to it? I want to close with this. This is a story about, there's a guy, and some of you, I don't know, you may have heard of him, but his name was, and it's cool because his name is the same as one of my elementary coaches. His name is William Criswell. Anybody ever heard of him? He's a pastor of one of the largest Southern Baptist churches in the United States. And he told a story about a man. And it was about this man who, when he was young, he's actually a deacon in his church now. And he told the story about this man who, when he was real young, he had this desire for a destiny to be rich and famous and all this stuff. Well, he made cheese. He was a young man and he made cheese. And he lived in the Chicago area. And he had a little pony. It's either a pony or a mule. I thought, we'll call it a pony. All right. Little pony. And its name was Patty. Little Patty. And he took this wagon. He made his cheese and he went all through the streets with it. Him and little Patty trying to sell the cheese. Worked hard at it. But he couldn't make no money. Couldn't make no money at it. He got discouraged and he was just ready to give up. And he said the man told him, the pastor, I just discouraged him, give up. And then it dawned on me. He said, he went home and he cried out to God. He said, and I made a covenant with God. What's a covenant? Somebody?
Deal.
Made a deal? All
right. Contract.
So like a contract, yeah. Right? So he made a covenant with God, he said. And he says, let me read it here. For the rest of his life, he would first serve God and then would work as God directed. Mm-hmm. And then many years later, Dr. Criswell heard that same deacon, his name was James Kraft. And he said, he's a deacon in his church. Now listen to what he said. He said, but I'd rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation of America. My first job is serving Jesus, he says. How about you this morning? I'm going to challenge you. How about you this morning? What's the first priority in your life? Maybe something you're working at. You're working at this thing. And you're just laboring and laboring. You're wore out. Come on. Somebody listen to me this morning. You're working so hard, but you just falling short. God says the challenging word this morning. Where's your first priority? Where's your first priority? See, today we pray and we begin to see the purpose for life in Christ. That's what I want us to do today. And you start looking at it and you start saying, well, you know what? I've probably been a little out of balance here. And my family's maybe a little out of balance here. Because I've been putting this first and that first. And God's wanting to challenge you this morning. Will you trust me? Sometimes God will allow you to lose what's important to you. You better listen to me this morning. I had a hard week this week. Cousin of mine went home to be with the Lord, but yet he was too young. He's 30 years old. Don't need And I'm going to not go there because it's hard, but I'm telling you, the enemy will kill, steal, and destroy in your life. If you don't focus on God and make Him first priority, He wants you to live out the rest of your life here for kingdom purpose for over there. And that is for eternity then.
Amen.
I don't know about you, and last week I ministered on the dash, the in-between, the lady who died, and the man stood, and he said, what about the dash in between your life on your tombstone? She lived this, she was born this day, she died this day, dash in between. What's your dash? Was it kingdom purpose or was it self-purpose? Was it all about building your kingdom? Building everything around you to leave something. I'm going to tell you what, you might even think, well, I'm going to leave something for my family, for my kids, but you may be deceiving yourself even there because the court might end up with it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Some lawyer might end up with it, and I ain't knocking a lawyer if you're a lawyer in here. But I'm telling you, kingdom purpose is bigger than you can even imagine. And when you begin to focus on God and placing Him first in your life, there's something God's going to open up inside of your mind. He's going to renew, transform you and your mind into something looking bigger and better than anything around you.
Amen.
Your kids will leave you.
That's right.
Your friends will leave you. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do then? You might lose your job. What are you going to do then? God says. What are you going to do when there's you lose everything you got? Your house burns down. What are you going to do? You better be trusting God. You better be knowing your purpose and your place in God that He will provide all my needs. Jesus says foxes have holes. The birds have nests. They don't worry about tomorrow. But yet, we worry, we're worrying about this and that. God says, quit worrying this morning. Quit worrying this morning. Failures are expected by losers, ignored by winners, Joe Gibbs said. Let me say that again. Failures are expected by losers, ignored by winners. You got to ignore that time you failed. Don't mean you've got to forget it, but you've got to move on. It might have been this morning on the way to church. It might have been yesterday. Keys to repent. Turn from your wicked ways, it says. We don't like to hear words like evil and different things. And, oh, don't rock the boat there. Heaven and hell, all that. Is it real to you? Or is it just real when you go to a funeral? Or when somebody dies and you really face... I'm told you this is challenging. I've been going to the funeral home too much lately. It's not just wait till then, it's right now God wants you to come into the understanding that the purpose is eternal. It's eternal purpose for our lives. God created man, as we started last week, in His image, to walk in the garden with Him. Where's your garden now? Is it with Him? Or do you feel naked like Adam and Eve once they've slipped out into disobedience? Don't cover it up. Don't cover it up. Feel free in God. That's what He wants. He wants for every one of us. And let's bow our heads. So when we place the Lord, everything else falls into place. And said Tuesday night, if we fall forward. That was our message Tuesday night. Get back up. Remember God's grace is sufficient. If you're here this morning, you've failed and you've just missed it. You just messed up. God's grace is sufficient this morning. If you'll call out to Him, it says, though, godly sorrow brings true repentance. We talked about this Tuesday night in my men's group. Godly sorrow. It's not sorry that you got caught. It's not sorry for it didn't go your way. It's sorry because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. And sin separates us from God. That's just bottom line. There's only one thing that could bring you back in the boat. One thing is Jesus, and that is Him saying, catch me, Lord. You're right now, you're asking God, if you're here, if you want to ask God in your heart, you've never experienced. You see, the one key thing is God wants a relationship with you. He wants to tell you something that there, I want to tell you something this morning, that there is a God and His love is there. It surpasses all your understanding. The Bible said He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, before you were knitted in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He even knew you was going to mess up. He don't give up. He don't give up on you. If you're here this morning, I want to pray for you and ask God grace, His mercy on you. No one's looking around. Everybody's dealing with their own stuff right now. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, just lift your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Hands all over. Hands all over. Hands all over. Thank you, Lord. You spoke now, Lord. You're speaking to our heart. Continue to pray. Some of you, pray, pray. We're going to have a breakthrough here. Tuesday night, we had a breakthrough in this place. It was awesome. Some of you right now, God wants you to realize He wants more for your life. Can you trust Him this morning? Come on, pray right now. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks His. Would you do that? Can you be honest? God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Soften our hearts, Lord. He wants to pour out His Spirit on you. You leave here fresh, clean. If you've never had Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, see, here's the thing. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Just like Adam and Eve when He walked in the garden with them. Recognize your nakedness this morning. Recognize your sin, that you need a Savior. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anybody? We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't even know what the next minute will hold. Do you believe that you'd have eternal life if you died today? What would your answer be? If you stood before God right now and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? There's only one. If you don't know that today, you can know it. You can know it. He wants you to know. It's written, it says. If that's you, slip your hand up. Come on. It says, if you deny me before man, I have to deny you before the Father. Never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Anybody? Okay. All right, now let's pray. We're going to pray for everyone. Everyone just lift your hands if you would. I know it may be uncomfortable. Right now, pray with me. Heavenly Father, come on, pray out loud.
Heavenly Father.
I surrender.
I surrender all to you. I'm going to trust you.
I need you.
Help me.
Change my priorities.
I want you to
be first priority.
I believe.
And now I surrender.
In
Jesus' name.
Can
you give God some praise in here?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, all right. Well, we're going to pray. And anyone got anything that God spoke to their heart or during the message, or if they want to share anything, we'll take a couple minutes. Anybody's welcome this time. We'll open the floor. We'll usually
something I wanted to just share in Romans 12. You know, it doesn't just go to, I urge you to be conformed, to not be conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't start there. That's the very first thing that he says. He says, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to do what?
Present
your bodies as living sacrifices. Mm-hmm. The rest of it doesn't just come. Our minds aren't going to be renewed. We're going to be conformed to the world. And over and over again, we actually take who we are, our physical body, our mind, our emotions, and we come to God, and it's like he's got an altar. Like in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices in the temple. And that's what made people righteous. Well, he's saying, I want you to crawl up. I want you to go into the temple. I want you to crawl up on the altar and lay there and present yourself as a living sacrifice for God to do with whatever he wants.
Very good.
If you're not willing to crawl up onto the altar and be a living sacrifice and let God do with you as you see fit, then we can't be conformed into his image and we can't be renovated. Mm-hmm. Okay, does that make sense? So that's really what struck me. I've never really
Very
seen
good.
That.
You know, this word is living, and every day in it's a good day. Mm-hmm. And one thing about it, if you open this book up and ask God, or even ask God before you open it up, show me, Lord, I need to hear from you. I don't know about you. God didn't always go, Ronnie, don't do that. But he will in here.
Yes.
This is how he speaks. Right? Sometimes he speaks to our spirit without this, and that's okay. Sometimes, though, and everyone knows, though, it's just sometimes a dry and thirsty place in your life. This will make it, he is the living water. He says, anyone who will come after me will never thirst. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to pray and have a special prayer request. Anybody got any special prayer requests?
Connie's got surgery on the 29th.
Okay. Ready to get that done? Behind you, right?
Yes.
In the rear view. Good. Looking forward for great results there.
We need to continue to pray for the Reese family.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They lost their son. He's a 30-year-old.
Yes. Anybody else?
I got a good buddy of mine that Nick Taylor, his grandma died this past week, and then his grandpa in like 2 days after.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wow.
Mm. We don't have to wait till death comes knocking, do we? A lot of us do, though. You know, a lot of us, we don't get a reality check till something happens that's drastic. But you know what? It can work to the good. Because God can work it to the good. And somebody who is lost, who, you know, can get saved. You know, and we have to understand that. We can't. There's things we're just not going to understand in this world. I mean, we just have to have faith and trust in God. All right, well, remember our offerings over here in our tithe box prayer request. We've got the envelopes over there. And we'd love to, you know, I want to say thank you for everybody who sows into the ministry and what a blessing it is. We do have some challenges coming up, some new bills to pay. And, well, they're not new, but I don't know. I don't know how much gas we have left. We'll pray for a short winter here. So, but everything is good. God is providing. But thank y'all for everyone who sows in the ministry. But remember, looking forward, that's why we're still pressing on, like Paul says, to the mark of the high calling of God. And we're pressing on with faith to get started over there on our side for the Adult Worship Center, and this is all going to be full of youth. Can anybody see that? Penny started Sunday nights a praise and worship, or just come and prayer and praise, opening up the place at what time?
6:30.
Yes. We'll be open all evening, but anybody, if you can't come at 6:30, you can just come pray anytime. We feel like God's leading us there. We were praying here last Sunday night, and it was just the glory of God fell on. It wasn't but four here, right? Three or four here. But we want to invite you or anybody who likes to worship and come and just worship the Lord and pray. So that's available. Who wants to pray over the offering? And we don't pass the plate. We just got the wall over here. And that it's up to you, your heart, to give and what you do. And God's... Somebody told me, you're crazy for doing that, Ronnie, when we got started. I said, well, God's told me to do that because I got to trust Him that it's all going to, you know, people's going to get a hold of this thing, what tithing means and what offerings means. And I don't have to preach that 10%, you got to do this and you got to do that. But, hey, you can't out-give God. I'll just say that.
Amen.
So... know that, and am I going to pick somebody and pray over offer? Alton, come up here. I'm going to pick you. I'm going to pick on him. Come stand here with me and pray together. Pray us over our offering, buddy.
All right. Dear Lord, thank you for all the people that show up here every Sunday, Lord, and thank you for the money that they put in this church to help pay the bills, Lord, and keep us going, and just bless each and every family member, Lord, and really thank you a lot for the people who do give the money to keep us going. I mean, it's really more appreciated than you really know. And we just love each and every one of you. We're a small family, but we're a big family. And we love you all. And in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let me bless y'all in prayer, Father. Bless everyone's day today as they rest in you, knowing that, Lord, their purpose in life now is to surrender to you and their whole family and everything. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. God bless their traveling and their week as to come. Lord, let them see the way to minister your love just like they felt today to a lost and dying world. And God, may you get all the glory in it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.